dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I call the war for the free world, the very complex, increasingly dynamic, and I'm afraid ever more ominous struggle for freedom in a world in which enemies abound and seem emboldened by our conduct. To talk about all of that, I'm very pleased to welcome back to our microphones an extraordinarily interesting and thoughtful observer, indeed really a combatant in this war for the free world for many, many years. He's a friend and colleague, Cliff Kincaid. He is the president and founder of America's Survival. He is also the director of the Accuracy and Media Center for Investigative Journalism. It is a pleasure to have him with us, particularly to mark the occasion of the publication by him of a new book entitled Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. Cliff, congratulations on the new book. Thank you for taking a full hour for a very special and I hope comprehensive drill down on what is going on in the former Soviet Union, shall we say, Russia under Vladimir Putin, and the trajectory it's on and what it might mean for us. Let's start with kind of the basic thesis of your book, which I guess in Hollywood they would say is, they're back. Talk a little bit about who they are and the evidence that we're, you know, back to something approximating the USSR.
If you look at the cover of our book, Frank, you'll see a bunch of what appear to be zombies. But leading them back from the dead is Vladimir Putin pointing up to the hammer and sickle. This is a book that is really a wake-up call, especially for conservatives, many of whom fell asleep. I'm one of those who, back during the 80s, I was able to go into East Berlin for a short time. I was able to see the wall, see the machine guns, the barbed wire. And many people died trying to come across that area to freedom. And we all applauded, we all cheered when the Berlin Wall came down. We celebrated the collapse of communism. And don't get me wrong, I believe that real changes did take place in the old Soviet Union. But as you say, they are back. Vladimir Putin himself says, once KGB, always KGB. He's an old KGB spy from East Germany, and he's been running Russia for quite some time, probably will run it for as long as he wants to. And I think we've recently seen with the invasion of Ukraine, a lot of conservatives who were lulled to sleep thinking we could work with a new modern Russia are realizing that's not the case.
Yeah, I want to get into that at length with you, Cliff, because I think this is really kind of a paradigm for what has happened to, well, conservatives and Republicans more generally in failing to serve as kind of a loyal opposition on many of these national security issues. But we'll come back to that shortly. Let me stay with sort of the overview. There are those who've said that the Soviet Union didn't so much collapse or disappear as that it reorganized, as in a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It came in under kind of new management, but many of the individuals and certainly the power structure of the old system remained more or less intact. You had some people who had made gajillions of dollars off of, you know, sort of the transition. But talk a little bit about the role in the Soviet Union and the role today of, well, for example, the KGB. That's, again, under a new brand. But how similar is it to what it was in the old days under people like Vladimir Putin? And how is it playing a role in the leadership of that country today?
One can argue, Frank, that While things changed over there, and I certainly think the old Communist Party has taken a back seat, that the power of the old KGB, now called the FSB and the SVR, have actually acquired even more importance and even more power and authority. This is a deadly combination what we're up against, because during the last 10 years or so, while we've been thinking we could work with a new modern Russia, and our Congress passed most favored nation trading status, or what they call permanent normal trade relations for Russia, we've realized with the invasion of Ukraine that they were spending a lot of this Western capital on building up their oil industry and hooking Europe on those supplies, building up their military, including their nuclear forces, to the point where recently Putin himself and his top aides have been threatening nuclear war. This is quite extraordinary for somebody who our NATO commander, General Breedlove, said recently we had been regarding as a, quote, partner.
And I guess that's kind of central to this story. And again, we're speaking with Cliff Kincaid, the author most recently of Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. We're really, I think, confronting something that, as you say, both with respect to the intelligence services, the sort of secret police, and much, if not all, of the military bears a striking resemblance to the bad old days, structurally, in terms of the very centralized control at the very top of, it's not the Communist Party anymore, but it is the Kremlin. What other similarities do you see, Cliff, as you've studied Russia today, to the evil empire, as you call it, at least in terms of its aspirations, if not in every sense of its condition at the moment?
Well, I think in terms of what we can see, obviously the invasion of Ukraine, the threats against other countries, but on another level, how they have brought back a lot of the old Soviet symbols. Even during the opening ceremony for the Olympics, we saw the hammer and sickle marching by as Vladimir Putin watched. And it wasn't done in a sense that, oh, this is a horrible part of Russian history and we have to move beyond it. No, it was one of pride. And in fact, Putin himself years ago said the demise of the old Soviet Union was a geopolitical disaster. So this is a guy who has been trying to reconstitute the old Soviet system, albeit under different names. Whether he's still wedded to old communist ideology or not, he believes in a form of Russian imperialism. He clearly hates the United States, but he wants to take over, in my view and in the view of the contributors to our book, he wants to control Europe. And we're seeing, unfortunately, people like Angela Merkel of Germany, basically his partner in crime in this endeavor, to the point where the president of Ukraine, in appearing before the Congress of the United States, is pleading, is begging for some weapons in self-defense just to protect his people. And Obama is getting away with simply supplying some bottled water and meals ready to eat at a time when we could roll back what is emerging, this dangerous threat on a conventional and nuclear levels. This is just extraordinary to me, Frank, that we have to wake so many people up. I was there during the 1980s. I was part of covering the Reagan administration going at the old Soviet Union. We've got to understand some lessons from that period, because the threat now may be even more dangerous and maybe even more deceptive, because so many people are fooled by it.
Cliff, we're going to pause for just a moment here in a second, but I do want to note that you observed correctly that Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel is playing a role, in some respects at least, of helping to prop up Russia at a time when its economy is not very strong, and running interference with it to some extent, at least, in terms of these sanctions for the Ukrainian effort. This is also strongly reminiscent of what the Germans did during the latter days of the Cold War, as you know so well, when West Germany, as it was configured at the time, was enormously invested, literally as well as figuratively, in keeping the Soviet Union and its East German franchise a going concern. We're going to talk more about lessons learned and unlearned from the Cold War as Vladimir Putin and his cronies roar back, if they're not checked, in a manner very similar to the old evil empire, with Cliff Kincaid in a very special broadcast of Secure Freedom Radio, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
An inspector general serves as an independent watchdog in each federal agency, promoting integrity and efficiency while rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse of authority in our government. Several important U.S. agencies have not had an IG for years, including the State Department, which has been without an IG for 5 years. During a constant wave of scandals in Washington, D.C., the newly published IG handbook by yours truly, Joseph E. Schmitz, couldn't be more timely. Every IG takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By exposing fraud, waste, or abuse through audits, IGs satisfy the constitutional mandate that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. The new IG handbook explains by what authority and for what purpose an inspector general does what he or she does on behalf of we, the people. Find the Inspector General Handbook on Amazon.com.
Are you looking to hire an IT specialist, or a logistics expert, a medical technician, or a security professional? Well, there are some very qualified candidates out there. America's wounded warriors. These men and women returning from battle are eager to get back to life at home and a good job. Some have wounds you can see, and some have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. For these accomplished professionals, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps wounded warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These warriors have world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork. And to ensure proper placement for each individual, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right candidate for the job. When your company is looking to hire talented, highly trained employees, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real special forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real special forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
Ready to roll?
Go for it.
Hi, I'm Jessie Jane Duff. I'm a retired United States Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, and I served 20 years on active duty serving this great country. I'm with Concerned Veterans for America now. After I got off active duty, I realized I still wanted to be involved and help change the direction our country is going. Concerned Veterans for America offered me that great opportunity. If you want to get involved, and you're thinking of getting involved, please visit our website because we have many activities throughout the nation. We have wonderful representatives in each state who are putting forward different ways you can become engaged. So go to the website at concernedveteransforamerica.org, and you do not have to be a veteran. But if you support the freedoms that we all fought so hard for to defend this great nation, then consider participating in the many activities we are participating in and helping to change the direction our country is going.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined for a special hour-long discussion with Cliff Kincaid, the editor and lead author of Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. Cliff is the founder and president of America's Survival. You can find out more about his organization and its vitally important work at usasurvival.org. Cliff is also the director of the Accuracy and Media Center for Investigative Journalism. And Cliff, I wanted to come in a very direct way to kind of the backbone of this new reconstituted evil empire, if I can call it that, namely the military forces that Vladimir Putin is bringing back from the dead. They fell into very hard times in the period immediately after the Soviet Union collapsed. Talk a little bit about the kind of force that we're increasingly confronting, both conventional and unconventional.
What we do in this book, Frank, and I might add that we've got some great contributors, including a former KGB officer, Konstantin Preobrazhensky, is look at how we were fooled, how we were deceived, and what Russia's been doing over the last many years as Western capital has been flowing in there. Yeah, they've been building up their oil industry, hooking Europe on those supplies, but at the same time building up their military forces, conventional and nuclear. It's quite extraordinary what's happening, and at the same time cementing a relationship with communist China. And we recently saw the two leaders sign a $400 billion gas agreement. But even more than that, what our book does, and Konstantin Preobrazhensky goes into this in detail, is examine how Putin very cleverly is trying to appear as not one of the old Soviet leaders, but as somebody new, somebody different, somebody who is actually a Christian. He appears at many of the Russian Orthodox church events. He gets blessed by the Russian Orthodox church leaders. Even recently this year, went to the Vatican to meet the Pope and bent over and kissed a Virgin Mary icon. And, you know, this kind of thing has really had an impact on some conservatives here in the United States, like Pat Buchanan, who has hailed him as some kind of new global Christian leader. This is even more deceptive, I think, than most of the things the old Soviets used to attempt, and it's having a big effect on many people who have forgotten, and we've got plenty of evidence in the book on this.
Yeah. We're visiting with Cliff Kincaid, who has just produced a remarkable new book entitled Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. And Cliff, you were talking about the sort of imbuing of Vladimir Putin with the defender of the faith, if you will, sort of mantle by many in the West, including a lot of conservatives here in the United States. This is presumably, at least in part, because of the hard line that he's credited with having taken against Islamists, notably in Chechnya. But does it stand up to scrutiny, in fact, aside from these symbolic gestures of professions of faith and visiting churches and so on, given the role that he is playing with countries like Iran, for example, and working with terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah? I mean, these are Islamists of the first order, aren't they?
Well, yes. And of course, the KGB, now the FSB, never cut off their old contacts with the old Arab and Islamic networks. Don't forget the Soviets, as you know, helped start the original Palestine Liberation Organization. We've got evidence in the book that the 1999 apartment bombings in Moscow that were blamed on the Islamic terrorists were actually carried out by Putin's intelligence service as a means by which to bring him to power and to make him popular. This guy will use anything, including the church, to try to appear to be a popular leader and on the right side of history. He's deceiving a lot of people. I believe that he hasn't done anything, for example, to help the Christians being persecuted and killed and beheaded by the Islamic State terrorists. In fact, I think the Islamic State terrorists can trace back to Al-Qaeda Al-Qaeda itself, and we show in the book that Al-Qaeda's then number two at the time of our own 9/11, now number one, Ayman al-Zawahiri, was actually trained by the KGB.
That's one thing I wanted to talk with you about, Cliff, is the Patrice Lumumba University, among other vehicles for inculcating in third world nations and would-be leaders of them this, you know, not only doctrine of totalitarianism at the time, mostly under the communist rubric, but also the tradecraft of terrorism was being passed on to, among others, Arab nationalists and, in due course, Islamists as well. And it is stunning, really, that Putin and company seemingly are being given a pass on all of that by even some of our friends.
Well, yes. And as, in fact, we look at the evidence in the book that the Ayatollah of Iran, Khamenei, was trained at Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow, now called Friendship University. I'll tell you, getting back to Angela Merkel for a moment, we look at evidence in the book that she's actually a Russian agent. We look at her history. She came out of East Germany. We look at how she became and concealed her role as an ideologist, a propagandist for an East German youth group. We look at evidence that Pryor Brzezinski gives us in the book that he said the KGB had so many heads of state under its control that they had a whole department just devoted to that. So we can't just assume that some of these people supposedly on our side are just misguided and they've been led astray. We have to look at the evidence of infiltration.
Yeah, you raise an interesting question there. And the book, of course, in which this documentation is provided, again, is Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire, which Cliff helped compile and write. There was much consternation not so long ago, Cliff, about the National Security Agency monitoring the phone calls of Angela Merkel. In fact, she was in quite a state of upset, I think it's fair to say, when she discovered it. But this really sounds like the sort of thing that we ought to be monitoring with every intelligence tool in our kit.
Well, we should. And of course, what we've seen in the Edward Snowden propaganda and disinformation, and we would call it espionage operation, is to alert the people we should be monitoring to what the NSA has been doing. And we believe that it's no secret, no accident that Snowden ended up in Moscow. We think this is deliberately for a purpose. We would argue in the book, Frank, that frankly, our NSA should be monitoring our own president. You know that back in 2008, we actually released evidence showing he had been mentored as a youth by a pro-Soviet Communist Party operative who was suspected of being a Soviet espionage agent.
Well, I don't think it's just suspected. This was indeed, as you say, a card-carrying communist, and he couldn't have been. We're talking about Frank Marshall Davis, of course, and a marvelous book on the subject, by the way, is "The Communist" by Paul Kenger, who has gone, I think, with some of the material you've generated and dived even more deeply. But Cliff, this question of whose side are these guys on? Takes on a whole new importance when we look at the kinds of aggressive behavior that Vladimir Putin is engaged in, the kind of designs and ambitions that he seems to have. And I want to come back after a short pause to drill down on that with Cliff Kincaid, the author most recently of Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire, the president and founder of America's Survival, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
Hugh Hewitt keeps the Constitution first.
That's what the left is about right now. Not about this or that.
Regulation or restriction.
Not about keeping weapons out of the hands of the mentally disabled. It's about attacking the Constitution. And by the way, you cannot mess with the Second Amendment without messing with the First and the Fourth and the Fifth and the Tenth. You either respect the Constitution or you don't.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weeknights at 6 after Michael Medved at 3 on 1260 WRC. New Choice. Intelligent Talk.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In Scotland today, history is being made, or perhaps unmade. For over three centuries, Britons and Scots have forged a united kingdom, initially through conquest of the latter by the former. That union may be undone today by Scottish voters, however. At the moment, polls suggest that the momentum is behind those seeking independence from Great Britain. In the course of a hotly contested campaign, much of the focus has been on the negative impact a yes vote would have for Scotland. Of concern for the United States, however, should be the implications for the capabilities of one of its most important and reliable allies. For example, Britain's submarine-based nuclear deterrent operates from a Scottish port known as Fastlane, with no obvious alternative elsewhere. Here's hoping the Scots say nay. This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Learn more at securefreedom.org.
I was diagnosed with PTSD. I got out and was sort of on my own.
Since 2003, more than 103,000 service members have been diagnosed with PTSD. Hope for the Warriors focuses not on what happened, but what happens next. Don't let them be forgotten. You can help restore hope to our military families.
My wife and my son are affected by combat, too.
Visit hopeforthewarriors.org today.
People know that they can turn to them and trust them.
The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish uncovers the dark side of revolution in the Middle East and the reason why Muslim countries are unable to dig themselves out of a cycle of revolution, political unrest, and tyranny. The constitutions of many Muslim countries state that Sharia law supersedes all other law, and that is why it has failed in providing a legal and political system where healthy democracy can flourish. In this dynamic, only tyrannical governments can survive. In The Devil We Don't Know, human rights activist and Center for Security Policy fellow Noni Darwish answers the tough questions. Why the Arab Spring won't usher in freedom and democracy or a feminist movement, and how Israel will be threatened by the new wave of Islamism after the so-called Arab Spring. The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish. It's available at Amazon.com.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, wherever the mission takes us, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hi, this is Frank Affney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
Now more with Frank Affney.
We're back. We're visiting for the full program with Cliff Kincaid, a man of extraordinary corporate memory and, I think, clarity of vision about many of the things that seem to elude most of us, let's be clear. Notably, threats, some familiar, some obscured by disinformation or willful blindness. But nonetheless, if one has the perspicacity, shall we say, to see, particularly based on past experience and history, what we're confronting today, it becomes a lot clearer. And I am deeply grateful to Cliff for giving us so much of his time and helping us penetrate some of that fog, specifically with respect to the fact that the Russian bear is once again on the loose. This is chronicled brilliantly in his new book, Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. And Cliff, we've been talking about various aspects of this problem. You have, as one of your other co-authors, J.R. Nyquist, in a section of the book entitled The Return of the Soviet Empire. And I want to just talk about that in the context of what we've been seeing lately in terms of Vladimir Putin's aggression towards what he calls the near abroad, and now most recently, New Russia. Crimea is gone. There is evidently going to be continued pressure on Ukraine to give up part of the eastern Ukraine in one form or fashion. Moldova, even the Baltic states seem to be in his crosshairs as much as perhaps Central Asia. What is it Putin is trying to do, in your estimation, in these various parts of the countries that have the misfortune of being literals of Russia today and the Soviet Union in the past?
They are trying to go as far as they can. They've made enormous progress just this year. Don't forget, in July, Putin made an amazing tour of Latin America, visiting Brazil, visiting Nicaragua, visiting with the leaders of Venezuela. The old communist international system that was always active in Latin America, you might say, is even more prominent, even more important today. When he visited Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, the old Sandinista that Ronald Reagan tried to overthrow through free elections initially, said, oh, this is a great moment for Nicaragua to welcome Vladimir Putin. This is happening in our own backyard, so to speak. So, yeah, Russia is moving forward in what they call the near abroad or their own backyard, but look at what's happening in ours.
Yeah. And talk a little bit, just staying with their own immediate sphere of influence, Cliff, about what you think their designs ultimately are in the West. We've had lately some shenanigans, shall we say, with respect to Estonia, another nation with the Russian population and therefore presumably the opportunity for similar turmoil to be fostered and ultimately, you know, annexations to take place. Perhaps elsewhere in the Baltic states. But also, what do you think Putin has in mind for NATO, the organization that I think he blames for what he calls the worst catastrophe of the 20th century, namely the fall of the Soviet Union?
Yes, their strategy has always been to destroy NATO. J.R. Nyquist in our book talks about how the Russians have openly talked about developing what they call a new European security architecture, where NATO will be abolished. This is really out in the open. They're trying to do this step by step, and it appears based on the a tepid reaction to their invasion of Ukraine that there's really no stopping them. We're hearing from people in Eastern Europe in places like Poland who realize that they may be next. We're talking about people in Poland who realize Putin has designs there. So this guy is really an evil genius. He's trying to use what's out of the old Soviet system, combining it with new elements of Christianity to appear as somebody different. He's got a lot of people fooled, and we're not waking up quickly enough to do anything about it. And yet, openly, they're threatening nuclear war. They're violating nuclear arms agreements, and all we're sending the Ukrainians is bottled water and meals ready to eat.
Cliff, to make matters worse, as we've been talking about on this program for some time now, the Russians have made clear their interest in a very close alliance, an axis, if you will, with another ominous rising power, namely China, communist China. Talk a little bit about what you see happening in that space, and what does that mean, not just for the various ambitions Putin has towards the West, but also what might flow from it in terms of our friends, allies, and interests in the East as well.
It's very clever what's been happening. The Russians decided, yeah, they had to drop the communist label in order to attract Western capital, and they did so with a lot, billions and billions of dollars going over there to help their oil industry build up their nuclear and conventional forces. The Chinese were even more clever. They didn't even drop the communist label. They said, we're going to go through a stage of capitalism, too. We're going to attract all this Western capital. We're going to build up our military forces. That we know, based on the Cox Commission report, they stole our designs for nuclear warheads, so they're building up their nuclear forces too. The old relationship with the old Soviet Union is now out in the open with Putin's Russia. They're basically threatening us. Plus, they've got this BRICS alliance of nations with Brazil, South Africa, and India, in addition to Russia and China, all arrayed against us and plotting their own version of a new world order.
To the extent, I'm mystified by this, that Vladimir Putin is engaged, as you say, in, among other things, transfers of technology and weaponry, and of course resources, and effectively populating much of the eastern part of his country in Siberia with Chinese nationals, as well as, you know, building ports and infrastructure and so on with their help. Can't Putin see the writing on the wall that ultimately he is really creating conditions under which the Chinese will be able to gobble up Russia, especially with the demographics of Russia being so grim at the moment?
Well, there's a big debate, as you know, Frank, as to where this whole thing is leading, whether there is any kind of real disagreement between China and Russia, how they will be able to cope eventually with global Islam, what kind of fight to the finish are we witnessing here. But as we talk about these possible unfolding developments, you're left wondering what's going to happen to the United States. Are we going to be able to hang on? You know, when I started America's Survival, people said, wow, that you're seeing black helicopters, Cliff, you're off your rocker. Well, people aren't laughing anymore because all these forces, and we've gone through a number of them, are gaining in power and strength. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of American big businesses subsidizing our enemies. We've talked about the fact that now we've got reports out from our group on how the Koch brothers have been building up China and Russia. We've got to make sure that stops and adopt some of the old Reagan plans of economic warfare against our enemies.
Yeah, I want to really get into that with you, Cliff, because what you've laid out is, of course, a strategic challenge of the first order. Even Russia alone, with nuclear weapons and a sizable and increasingly modern military and a thuggish leader, Vladimir Putin, quite capable of and seemingly determined to use all of that and oil weaponry and other economic instruments to impose his will on his neighbors and indeed on, as you've said, the so-called world order. This really does raise the question as to whether we're not looking not only at kind of a return of the evil empire, but we're looking at a moment when we need to return to the sorts of principles and strategic plans that ultimately, under President Reagan, destroyed the Soviet Union in its previous incarnation. We're going to do that and more with Cliff Kincaid, the author of Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire, the President and Founder of America's Survival. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
An inspector general serves as an independent watchdog in each federal agency, promoting integrity and efficiency while rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse of authority in our government. Several important U.S. agencies have not had an IG for years, including the State Department, which has been without an IG for 5 years. During a constant wave of scandals in Washington, D.C., the newly published IG handbook by yours truly, Joseph E. Schmitz, couldn't be more timely. Every IG takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By exposing fraud, waste, or abuse through audits, IGs satisfy the constitutional mandate that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. The new IG handbook explains by what authority and for what purpose an inspector general does what he or she does on behalf of we, the people. Find the Inspector General Handbook on Amazon.com.
I was diagnosed with PTSD. I got out and was sort of on my own.
Since 2003, more than 103,000 service members have been diagnosed with PTSD. Hope for the Warriors focuses not on what happened, but what happens next. Don't let them be forgotten. You can help restore hope to our military families.
My wife and my son are affected by combat, too.
Visit hopeforthewarriors.org today.
People know that they can turn to them and trust them.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
I lost my arm.
I lost my legs.
But you can't see what I lost. Over 625,000 vets are suffering from traumatic brain injury
and post-traumatic stress. They're the wounds you can't see.
But with your help, we can expose the invisible wounds of war.
And get these veterans the help they desperately need.
100% of your donation goes toward building treatment centers. Help heal the invisible wounds of war. Donate at makeitvisible.org.
I had no choice the news that was given to me on August 2nd.
Gold Star mom, Debbie Lee.
But I did have a choice how I responded.
In August 2006, Mark Allen Lee became the first Navy SEAL to lose his life in Iraq.
I chose to put on Mark's boots, pick up his weapon, and stay in the fight for our troops and their families.
And America's Mighty Warriors was born.
Mark's name meant Mighty Warrior. And he definitely lived up to his name.
At AmericasMightyWarriors.org, you'll find Mark's last letter home.
Read it, and you'll know what AMW's about.
It's about service to active duty members of the military and their families,
including care packages, visits, and more.
It's about supporting the wounded and the people who love them.
It's about the Gold Star family.
Special retreats, concerts, Mother's and Father's Day events to let them know they're loved and not forgotten. Donations are tax deductible and go directly where they're needed.
Read Mark's last letter home.
And just as he inspired his mom, let Mark inspire you to some random acts of kindness of your own.
At AmericasMightyWarriors.org.
This is Jenny Thomas. I do video interviews of leaders with the Daily Caller. I had the privilege recently of interviewing Diana West about her extraordinary new book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can see it at DailyCaller.com. American Betrayal reads like a spellbinding historical thriller, but it is also a carefully documented account of how the U.S. government was penetrated by communist agents in the years after President Roosevelt normalized relations with the Soviet Union. Diana West shows how a similar assault is being mounted today by yet another collectivist ideology, the supremacist Islamic doctrine of Sharia. She establishes that while the communists and the Islamists may have very different visions of the world, they have employed the same techniques to defeat America. Please watch my conversation with Diana West about American Betrayal, then check out the other great leaders we profile at DailyCaller.com.
Annie Soldier Incorporated was started in August 2003 as a simple family effort to help the soldiers in one Army unit, thus the name. However, due to overwhelming requests, on January 1, 2004, the Annie Soldier effort was expanded so it would include any member of any of the armed services in harm's way. Won't you please help? Find out how by going to www.anysoldier.com today.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. The final segment of a very interesting, thought-provoking, perhaps controversial, but very illuminating conversation with Cliff Kincaid, a man of enormous experience and insight. Author, most recently, of some 10 books, but the latest of which is Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. Cliff is also the founder and president of America's Survival. You can follow his work there at usasurvival.org. And he is the director of the Accuracy in Media Center for Investigative Journalism. And Cliff, I just want to pick up on one other of your contributors in the new book, Russian Influence Operations in the Media. It's written by Toby Westerman, and it really conjures up the kind of
practice of the old Soviet Union in subverting us from within, as well as challenging us from without, by going into and after our various civil society institutions, the media, academia, our culture, you know, the financial sector, to the extent they could penetrate it, and so on. This really calls to mind the kind of era in which Reagan responded after years of feckless containment with a strategy for rolling back this evil empire. Talk a little bit about the Reagan strategy and the extent to which you think it is applicable in today's environment and, more to the point, urgently needed.
Part of what Reagan did, of course, was economic. He tried to strangle the old Soviet Union economically, but he also fought them through the information war. We were combating at the time. In fact, we had departments in the USIA, the U.S. Information Agency, dealing with what were called Soviet active measures or influence operations, some of them using the media. Today, incredibly, Vladimir Putin is doing out in the open what they used to do secretly, through things like Russia Today Television, RT, which is financed by Moscow and on hundreds of U.S. cable and satellite systems throughout the United States. At the same time, Frank, you know, what we have to do is return and reconstitute some of these old Senate and House internal security committees and subcommittees to find out how we've been infiltrated from the top on down. How is it that a Ron Paul supporter by the name of Edward Snowden could have gotten a security clearance, first at the CIA where he worked, and then at the NSA? There's something seriously wrong here with our ability to control subversion from within.
Yeah. You know, Cliff, I'm struck by one manifestation of how far we've traveled from thinking about internal security. And you mentioned Edward Snowden. As you know, an organization called the U.S. Investigative Service, or USIS, was contracted out first by the Clinton administration and then the Bush administration and now the Obama administration to help clean up the backlog in processing security clearances, the investigations that established that there wouldn't be a security threat if somebody was given access to the most sensitive information in our government. Only recently have we learned, because the Justice Department has brought suit against this firm, that they had flushed, that's their term for it, flushed 660,000 background investigations, which is to say, in order to meet a quota, they just pretended that they'd done the investigation and said, these guys are okay, good to go. Among them, Edward Snowden, and I suspect there's some others who similarly shouldn't have received clearances. But Cliff, you talk about the idea of having a reconstitution of these security-minded committees on the Hill. Is there anybody in public life today that you can point to who seems to have a grip on the nature of the need for these kinds of things, let alone might be willing to actually take a prominent role in helping them be reconstituted?
It's tough to name one. We've got a big job of education to do here, Frank, and I know you're going to be part of that. We've got to get back to what worked and how we have to protect ourselves. I know some on the Hill will probably fear being called McCarthyism if they start raising questions of loyalty to the United States, but we've got to raise that issue. And it's not just with people like Snowden who have these government jobs. There's another big loophole in our system from the top on down regarding federal candidates for office, for Congress and for the presidency itself. None of these guys, none of these people have to go through any kind of security clearance or background check. If you're a member of the Congress, if you become president, you automatically get access to our most highly classified secrets. And I think based on what's happened over the last 6 years with Barack Obama, we got to rethink that one.
We certainly saw in this case, if I can use that same expression, his background investigation was kind of flushed. It didn't. You've been in the journalism business for decades, Cliff, and in fact, your project at the Accuracy in Media program, your Center for Investigative Journalism, is kind of the archetype of what we used to expect and to varying degrees receive from the Fourth Estate in terms of a vetting of candidates. And it would be unimaginable under most circumstances that a guy who studied under a communist by the name of Frank Marshall Davis and who, that sat at the feet of Jeremiah Wright in his horrific church, and who was friendly with Rashid Khalidi, an apologist for Yasser Arafat, and Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, terrorists, convicted terrorists, and the list goes on and on. And yet, he wasn't vetted by the press. What was up with that?
Well, of course, this is the big loophole in our system. We held conferences in 2008 on Davis. We released a 600-page FBI file showing his devotion to the old Soviet Union, and the media generally just laughed at us and said we were believers in UFOs. Even Matt Drudge wouldn't run an ad that I tried to pay $5,000 for on this subject, saying it was too controversial. But let me tell you this, Frank, don't think it can't happen to people on the conservative side, too. You know, David Cameron, the head of the Conservative Party in Britain, the prime minister there, he admits years ago he was targeted by the KGB. The KGB tried to recruit him. Of course, he says, well, you know, I rebuff that. But look at what's happened to Britain. There's a book out about London called London Grad, about all the Russian money and influence in London, in Britain, and some of that money's been going into the Conservative Party there.
Yeah, well, they're competing, I'm afraid, for the distinction of having that be the designation of London rather than Londonistan, as it's been called, given the influence of the Islamists there now. Cliff, we've only got about a minute left, but talk very quickly about if you had an opportunity to speak to our leaders, what would you tell them about the prospect that the Russian Empire is back from the dead?
Well, I would tell them that we have to treat the Russians like we did the Nazis. We have to be on guard. We have to investigate their activities in Washington, D.C. We have to bring back these old committees. We have to bring back, yes, let's call it a loyalty oath, where we have people who serve us as public servants in federal offices, including the presidency, who do go through a background check. We need a media that's going to start focusing on the fact that the old evil empire is back. It's not dead.
We invariably will have people criticizing us for being nostalgic for the Cold War or simply being, as you say, McCarthyites. I think neither is true. I think both of us would have hoped that we really did see the end of the evil empire. But there is no blame. Indeed, there is great credit in being willing to point out the harsh reality. And I think you've captured it brilliantly in your new book, Cliff Kincaid, from the extraordinarily important organization, America's Survival, namely, Back from the Dead, The Return of the Evil Empire. Get it at Amazon, read it, and bring it to the attention of your representatives. Cliff Kincaid, thank you so much for this extraordinarily important conversation and your generous time. Come back to us soon, and in the meantime, keep up the tremendous work you do. God bless you, and I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.